blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 191, stanzas 1, 2, 6, and 7. Though troubles great o'ershadow me, thou art my refuge strong. My mouth shall praise thee all the day, and thy honor be my song. 1, 2, 6, and 7 of 191.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon's worship service can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, there of chapter 5, the first 20 verses. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus far the Bible reading. Let us now read the form for the administration of baptism, which can be found on page 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, For sprinkling with water teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou, who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used to that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Kreft? Father and Mother Kopilar, Father and Mother Niels. Dear parents, we have just heard read the words of Christ. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven? Sometimes that is called in God's word the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus says he calls it my kingdom. Thus, it is the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean? The kingdom of heaven sometimes refers to the visible church. We read that the Lord Jesus speaks about a man who sowed good seed in his field, and he likens that to the kingdom of heaven. In that field there were also tares, the kingdom of heaven. He likened it to a man who sowed a mustard seed in his field, or leaven put into the bread, the kingdom of heaven. That's the visible church. Sometimes the term kingdom of heaven, and that is referring to the true church, actually, just God's people. The Lord Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. He says that is a spiritual kingdom. And sometimes the term kingdom of heaven, that is used for the kingdom of glory, that is where God's children shall spend eternity. That is what we read here in the following verse. He says, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus, your children are this day given an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That is not the kingdom of glory. It is not necessarily the spiritual kingdom, but it is an entrance into the visible church, called here the kingdom of heaven. And then he speaks here about people who are in the kingdom of heaven, breaking his commandments, breaking his commandments in the kingdom of heaven. Then we think of who? Then we think of the devil, right? In the stillness, no, in after he was created, after he was made a spirit by the Lord, then he rebelled against God in his kingdom, in the kingdom of glory, and he kept not his commandments, and the Lord cast him out of his kingdom. So those in the kingdom of heaven, not keeping, transgressing, breaking one of the least of these commandments. And then it speaks about those who shall teach men so. To teach another man to break one of the least of these commandments of the Lord. And when we are made a parent, because we are made parents, the Lord gives us to be parents. The Lord gives you a child, children. And when we are made parents, we are made teachers. And the consistory, the elders, the minister, they have a duty to teach. And so also the parents. Father and mother, they are given a special office by the Lord to teach their children. And now the Lord speaks about teaching men. So, to teach a man to disobey, to transgress, not to keep, to break one of the least of these his commandments. Thus, how shall that be as parents when we are instructing our children by our example, by our mouth, when the Lord has given to us that office, that place to teach, given to us that child, and then we are teaching that child against him, teaching that child to do against his laws. If you will make a rule for your children in your household and someone will teach your child to disobey you, teach your child not to obey your commands, but will live in your heart. Thus, what a great responsibility is laying on us, office bearers, parents, teachers, everyone who by example also teaches someone else to disobey, to transgress one of the least of these commandments of the Lord. Today your child is to be baptized, and you are, we heard that, to instruct your children in what? In these things. Baptism, that is about grace. That is something that when the Lord instructs a person, then he receives the greatest joy, the greatest relief that a man can know in this world. Grace, free and sovereign grace. Does that then make him an antinomian? Anti-law, against the commandments of the Lord, just the opposite. Just the opposite, because Paul says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. And thus to teach men so, to teach men to break those commandments, is to teach a man to sin. But now to teach your children to keep those commandments is to instruct him what sin is, what depravity is, that we cannot keep those commandments. And then there is room. Then there is room to teach your child what has been done this day, what has been placed upon his forehead, that there is one name that is given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved, that name Jesus. The Lord give it all in all of your hearts as parents, and the Lord give you faithfulness and diligence, and may He bless the instruction that you give unto your children, and the preaching of his holy word, and that baptism, that sign and seal that will be placed upon their forehead in this day. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 48, the last stanza, the eighth stanza, the Lord's unfailing righteousness. All generations shall confess. From age to age shall men be taught what wondrous works the Lord has wrought. The eighth stanza of Psalter 48, and after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. Richard, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Nora Rochelle, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Emery Jenica, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. And we beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, and the one only true God. Strengthen these parents, and that they may receive that Spirit of thee, which we miss by nature, and which can be living with desire in their hearts, that they may receive that which they cannot do without, that they may fulfill the promise that they have made before thee and the congregation. Oh, give them a place at thy footstool, and give them thy grace, give them diligence, give them faithfulness, give them strength, give them health, grant them that tender fear of thy name, and that the devices of Satan may be put away, and that thou thyself may work mightily in their young families. Remember also grandparents and great-grandparents that may be here or elsewhere, who may see their seed come within thy kingdom. O Lord, thou knowest the gladness that can be in their hearts, and when in an outward way thou givest this great blessing, but also the cry that comes within. When the years pass on and more is seen, the great vanity of life, and then the cry is going out mightier and mightier, and to the God of heaven and of earth, and that thou mayest remember thy own covenant with their children and their grandchildren, and that thou wouldest work with might and with power. O Lord, help them, and that they may lay at thy footstool and not let thee go, except that thou bless them for the sake of their seed and their seed's seed, that thou wouldst take away the devices of the enemy that do approach and that do desire to slay, and that thou mayest remember them also as time goes on and they come closer and closer to that great meeting with thee. Remember all of us as parents and grandparents. Give us to remember our oath. Give us to come in the guilt with our oath. Give us to come in the impossibility with our oath, and that we may be given to experience that thou art the first and the last, and that thou art the Alpha and the Omega. Remember all those that do attend thy house, that do listen to thy word. Wilt thou bring word and sacrament to be a blessing in the midst of the congregation, but that this sacrament also may be an encouragement to thy own children? For thou hast not yet forsaken, and thou dost still bring in to thy kingdom, and that thou may give unto each one of thy own children the strength to fight in that warfare which thy servant did speak of, when he did say, I have fought a good fight. Oh, then it is not fought good from our side, and yet it is a good fight. Oh, teach the hands to war and the fingers to fight, and give that grace may be magnified, that thy dear Son may be magnified, that thy covenant may be magnified. Remember those that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. Wilt thou strengthen and increase also their numbers? Remember those upon the mission field. Wilt thou bless also their labors, and that thou may give instruction also and strength and health, that they may do their work with diligence, but also may it be with pleasure and a blessing from above. And then we see him in our midst also that will soon be returning unto the mission field. Wilt thou be with him and his wife and his children, and all those that labor with him in that place, and bless the labors that they may perform, and that thou may care for us and all those that do labor in thy kingdom, the teachers in the schools, in the midst of our denomination. Remember us in this week when the SEC and the principals will also meet, that thou may give us wisdom and decisions, give thy blessing upon all of the discussions that will take place, and that thou mayst look on our children and our teachers, give them a little rest in these weeks from their labors, and that they may receive strength to continue at thy time once again. Remember us in this afternoon when thy word is to be brought once again. O Lord, thou knowest that every time is a new time, and that we need that renewed strength. We need it for our body. We need it for our mind. We need it to speak, to preach thy holy word, to give explanation, to give application. And we know not the hearts of men, but thou knowest their hearts, and thou knowest who is here. And we are just but an instrument in thy fingers. Could thou use us as one in this afternoon hour for the convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and for the revealing of thy dear Son unto the poor in spirit, whose are the kingdom of God. Look on us then in thy mercy, forgiving and taking away all that is sinful within and without, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 42, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 42. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you, Matthew 5, and there of the 20th verse, Matthew 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So far, the words of our text, a necessary requirement for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. First, what is insufficient. And second, what is necessary, a necessary requirement for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. First, what is insufficient, and second, what is necessary. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those, congregation, are solemn words. Do they make you tremble? You say, well, it depends on who speaks those words, whether I tremble or no. And who speaks those words? That is not a man only. That is also God. That is Christ. That is God himself, who is the one who is deciding who shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, and who shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Do we tremble then? Maybe we do not tremble today, but how will it be when we are upon our deathbed, and when these words would be spoken to us, when our end comes, because the Lord showed unto John the heavenly Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And then he may see that there were 12 gates. We read that on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. There's 3 gates facing every direction. Then men will come through those gates. 144,000. They are the chosen of the Lord. They will pass through those gates into that kingdom of heaven from every nation that is under the heavens. And then we can read that there will be on the outside of those doors, of those gates, also many people. A great multitude of people, the Lord says, that are looking, that are desiring, that are knocking, that are crying to come in through those gates. They will have a vision. They will see that place from which or where they have many fears to be. They will in that day see the blessedness of God's people. And they will cry and they will knock. And it will be said unto that people, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In no case, that is without exception. Every single possibility to enter in that is cut off. There is nothing they can say. There is nothing they can do. There is nothing they can plead. There is nothing they can cry that will help them. Why? Because that case is closed. And that case is never for all eternity to be opened once again, whether they are able to enter into that kingdom of heaven. In no case. The Lord said to Jeremiah, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind could not be changed concerning this people. Cast them out of my sight. Let them go forth. In no case. Oh, how final our case becomes in our death. Solomon says, in the place where the tree falleth, if the tree fall to the north or to the south, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. In no case. The verdict pronounced and the sentence executed. And then we find out how strong are the bars of the kingdom of heaven. The bars of those gates, those doors. How strong. Justice. Justice. And the mighty cherubims that will stand by those 12 gates with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life so that they shall in no case enter. Oh, then they may plead. We may plead with those officers of the Lord. We may lay before those officers all our religion, all the mighty works that we have done, all the prophesying that we have done in the name, the confession, the profession of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in the kingdom. Only to hear, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is your case closed? We all have a case. It's not just your father and your mother, young people, children. It doesn't just belong to them. You too have a case. Everyone as an individual has a case. Is your case closed now? Is that case done yet? You say, no, I'm still alive. That is right. How long? How long? Before that your case is closed, how is it then? Do you seek? Do you seek an entrance into that kingdom before that day that that final verdict is going to come concerning our soul personally? Or do we never consider our case? That we have a judge. That we have obligations. Obligations from our Creator. Increased obligations because of the goodness of the Lord that ought to lead us to repentance. Obligations because of a baptized forehead. Obligations because of a confession. Solomon says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. spiritual prudence that is a gift of God. It is given in regeneration. Spiritual prudence. Are we regenerated? Have we spiritual prudence to see it beforehand? It says, far away, children, far away, young people. No, it is coming quickly. Does the Lord give us in the days of our youth spiritual prudence to foresee the evil? That evil coming, that evil sentence, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet it is not only future that the Lord Jesus speaks about here. He actually speaks about a closed case. He actually speaks about something that is already closed. He actually speaks about something that cannot be opened anymore. For I say unto you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. He speaks about one exception, except, but outside of that exception, he says the case is closed already. You need not think about any other way. Because outside of this, ye shall in no case enter. And what is that exception? He says that your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. What does that mean? Well, Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unrighteous. That's what is that? What is righteousness that has to do with the law? Righteousness that has to do with being right with the law. The law does not condemn a righteous person. The law always condemns an unrighteous person, a person who is not right with the law. He is not in obedience with the law. He is transgressing the law. Unrighteousness. And then he speaks about the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. What is that? There is a certain irony in what the Lord Jesus is here saying. Why? Because the scribes and Pharisees, they considered themselves to be very, very righteous people. They were certainly very strict people. The Lord Jesus said that the Pharisees, they strained at a gnat, very, very, very small insect. They strained at that gnat. So they were very, very, very particular about following their laws, their traditions. The Lord Jesus holds them up, as it were, as a certain standard. He will speak about the righteousness that is necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. And he looks round about him in the world, and he thinks about these persons to whom that he is speaking, his disciples, and the multitude that is around those disciples that do hear him speaking unto his disciples. Oh, what can I now compare that to? Well, the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, they were very, very strict. All those persons, they all knew how strict that the Pharisees were. And thus the Lord Jesus uses those Pharisees as an example. As a high example, the highest, as it were, that can be found in this world. The highest example of particularness in following laws. And then he says, that exactness, that particularness of those Pharisees is not enough. That is not high enough for God. He says, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. Otherwise, he says, you shall in no case enter into that kingdom of God. Thus, even the highest that we know about, even the Pharisees' strictness, even their particularness, that is insufficient for God. God is stricter. He requires a perfection. What is that irony? Well, those scribes and the Pharisees, they accuse Christ. They accuse him of breaking the law. The disciples all knew that. The people around him, they all know that. Pharisees said, he is not of God. Why? Because he heals on the Sabbath day. He breaks the law of God. Oh, he teaches a man to carry his bed on the Sabbath day. Lord Jesus knew that. What does the Lord Jesus do? He teaches his disciples. In the ears of that people, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. That is what the Pharisees say of me. That is what they accuse of me of. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Thus the one will be despised, and the other, and they will be honored. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. What is a jot? A jot, that is, I think it is the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That is the tiniest letter, the smallest letter that can be found in the Hebrew alphabet. Very, very small. And a tittle, what is a tittle? Well, we sometimes have that, I think, in the French language, a little accent mark. So an E with an accent mark over it, that is a tittle. They have them more often in that Hebrew language. If we would bring that over to our language, we would speak about dotting an I and crossing a T. Just those little marks when we write. We say sometimes, children, when you're learning to write, and your teacher will say, oh, you forgot to put the dot on the I, and you forgot to put the cross on the T. Very, very little. That's what does the Lord Jesus speak about? Then he says here that the Lord will not overlook the very least sin. every I of the law will be dotted. Every T of the law will be crossed. As Pharisees and scribes, they were very strict. Yet even they have forgotten some of the dots on the I's. Even they have forgotten in their strictness some of the crosses on the T's. And because they have forgotten the dot, they shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. One dot, one cross of a T, and you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Roman Catholics, they speak about mortal sins and venial sins. They say some sins are big sins, great sins, for them you go to hell. Some are just venial, for those you may go to purgatory, they may be purged from you. That is contrary to the Bible, because what does the Lord Jesus say? Every dot, every cross is required. Every sin is mortal, because when you miss a dot, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What was the doctrine of Mr. Worldly Wise Man? He sent him City of Morality, Mr. Civility, Mr. Morality. What was their doctrine? Just be civil. The Lord knows we are not perfect. Don't have to be perfect. And what is our doctrine? What is our inward thought about every jot and about every tittle of the law of God? Do we make light of the jots? Do we make light of the tittles of God's holy law? If we do, we do not know God. If we do, we do not know His righteousness. If we do, we do not know His holiness. The Lord says, there is nothing light about my holy law. Thus the perfection, He says, of your righteousness must exceed the perfection of their righteousness. Does it? Shall we each ask ourselves that question today? Does our righteousness now exceed the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees? And if we have to say no, Christ says, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. But that is not all. No, He says, your righteousness must exceed their righteousness also in its character, in its purity, because their righteousness is no righteousness at all, the righteousness of those scribes and Pharisees. He says they strain at a gnat, yes, but at the same time they swallow, He says, a camel. Full well, he says, you do reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your tradition. That is why Christ was condemned by those Pharisees, because he refused to break the commandment of the Lord in order to follow their tradition. Christ distinguished between the two. The scribes and Pharisees did not distinguish between the two. They counted it all the same. No. They counted their own tradition above even the commandment of the Lord. And therefore, Christ condemned them. And he condemned them also, he says, for teaching men so, to lead men into condemnation. Oh, that righteousness that is necessary to enter into that kingdom of God. He says that must be so pure, that must be strictly according to that moral law of God. At the same time, it must be without imperfection. If you forgot to dot an I, if you forgot to cross a T, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. O congregation, how stands our case with God? How shall then any man enter into the kingdom of God? Let us sing a moment. 389:1-5. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. 1 and 5 of 389. I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who then can enter into the kingdom of heaven? Christ answers that. At the same time, what does he say? He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. That law will not only be fulfilled in its power to condemn, who has not dotted an I and crossed a T, but it also will be fulfilled in its power to reward, because that law that has two sides, a judge does condemn the unrighteous, but at the same time a judge does reward the righteous. I came to fulfill it, he says. Every jot and tittle. To bring in a righteousness that far exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. To bring in a righteousness in its purity of motive, purity of execution, in perfection of execution, that is acceptable unto the judge, unto my Father. Every jot and tittle. Heard something about that. But what does Christ say? He says, now, unless that righteousness becomes your righteousness, that you will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because he does not say here, except my righteousness exceed. He says, except your righteousness exceed. Thus, his righteousness, that has no value for us, unless it is given to us, unless it is imputed unto us. That is what we witnessed this afternoon. That was the intention of the Lord in his sacraments. Then there is a certain participation. Then it speaks about the application. Then that blood, that water that is placed upon the forehead, then it is given unto you. That is symbolic. Who now feels the necessity of this? You feel it? Your righteousness. Is it your righteousness? Is it my righteousness? Jews were so proud, a proud people, proud nation. And why were they so proud? Well, we have it. We have the truth. We are God's people. We are the children of Abraham. are circumcised. Know what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees and scribes? You're the children of the devil. The children of the devil. With all your privileges, with all that I have given to you in this life, with everything that you boast about, with your circumcision, you are the children of your father, he said, the devil. Your righteousness is insufficient. And you will have nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with my righteousness. On behalf of God's people, we can read the prophet of the Lord, Isaiah. He says unto the Lord, he says, we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, they are as, what children do you know? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. Without this knowledge, without this confession, a man can never see the beauty of the righteousness of Christ, the beauty of the perfection of the obedience of Christ. His active obedience, which of you convinceth me of sin? Oh, the beauty, the beauty that may be seen in his obedience by a man who has only to condemn himself and who is standing by the declaration of the Lord on the outside of the kingdom of God, because his righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, because of shortcomings not only, but because from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And then to see by that blessed Spirit of the Lord, oh him, looking a little through the lattice. To see just a little portion of what he is, who he is, the perfection of his obedience. Oh, to see that he has not missed a jot and that he has not missed a tittle. Scribes and the Pharisees conspired to slay him. But what do we read? The publicans and sinners, they ate with him. They sat and they ate with him. And he sat and ate with them, to their surprise and to their great wonderment. Oh, he remains the same. A friend, we read in God's word, of publicans and of sinners. Of those that continue in sin, of those then who walk in sin, no, that is not who he sat with. You read about Zacchaeus. He said, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything by any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, they were not publicans who were living in sin. They were publicans that came in the way of repentance from sin. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, David says, and I will not sit with the wicked. He's saying that to children, right? That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. Who do you sit with, young people? Because the wicked influence us. Or do you influence others in a wicked way? That is an awful thing. To teach a man to do against, to break the commandments of the Lord. And now to sit with a man who will teach you to break the commandments of the Lord. Oh Christ, he has a righteousness to be distributed to repentant sinners. That is why he came upon the earth. Are there people that may see his beauty? Oh, has the Lord ever opened to you the preciousness, the necessity, the suitability of Christ, of his obedience? You feel your guilt, and that makes you to feel unworthy. But that is now, that felt guilt, that is what makes you so fit for him. Why? Because he came just for such persons. David says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, he says, and then my tongue shall sing of thy righteousness all the day long. That is the reason that the Lord distributes it. Not for your sake in the first place, for his own sake, when he may distribute it, and that people, in their blood guiltiness, they may magnify and glorify his name. Oh, wonder our parents. It's just a little water today, right? Just a drop of water on that forehead. You've seen it. That is all we need. All that is one exception that Christ is speaking about. When our righteousness may exceed the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees. What do we read? One name given under heaven among men, whereby that we must be saved. What do you think? What do you think? Oh, are you ready? Are you ready to sing about his righteousness? Because we sing about our own, right? We sing about our own. But has that now ever come to a stop? To sing about our own righteousness? And has the Lord ever given you to sing about his righteousness? John saw that heavenly city, and then he saw that bride of that Lamb of God. And what does he say about that bride? They were clothed in raiment, in fine linen. And he says that garment was granted unto them, a garment. And he says the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. That is not an inherent righteousness. But it is a granted righteousness. And when it is given unto them, then it becomes theirs. Then it becomes theirs. then it is not only his. Because when he gives it, then it is a gift that he never takes back again. Then it is a gift that they may now call their own, and that he calls their own. Accept your righteousness. Exceed that righteousness of those scribes and Pharisees. Oh, how far. How far does that righteousness, oh, that linen, clean and white. How far does it now exceed the righteousness of those scribes and of those Pharisees? And they are received by that judge without spot and without wrinkle. Oh, what is it covering? The bride said, Jesus, I am black. I am black, but comely. Oh, blessed are they that are so clothed with that righteousness. Oh, David says, my tongue shall sing of thy righteousness. My tongue shall sing of thy praise. That is what he is doing. He was black too, wasn't he? It's in the Bible. And now he is singing, not of his own righteousness, but about that robe that was granted unto him. O congregation, the case is not yet closed. Still a day of grace. Baptism, free, sovereign grace, a gift of God, given so freely. Oh, will we not seek, will we not desire in our heart, in a day of grace, to receive that gift, that robe, before that we will stand at that judgment seat, and we will hear in our ears, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, word and sacrament, all we are wretched and miserable creatures, fallen in our father Adam, dead in sins and in trespasses, filthy, corrupt, that thou canst not take such into thy presence. But thou dost declare by word and sacrament, by the ear and by the eye this day, what thou hast provided for them that love thee. O Lord, give us to see our sin. Break us down, humble us, that we may be made poor in spirit, that we may be made meek, and that we may seek to know the blessedness of the meek, and that we may also be given to enter into the kingdom of God. Humble us under thy gifts this day. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Forgive all our sins. Help us in the week to come. Spare from accident, danger, evil, and sin, and a sudden and an unexpected death. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 427, stanza 4. In truth, the Lord has sorely chastened, but not to death delivered me. In his paternal love he hastened to mitigate my misery. Stanza 4 of 427. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.